according to several of the urban dictionaries, is a dismissive term for somebody or something that's been getting on your nerves, something that's been taking more from you than giving to you, something more parasitic than symbiotic, something that's negative in its nuance. Can I suggest to you that it became popularized in 1995 in Ice Cube's character Craig in the hit movie Friday, when Felicia used to come by and ask to use the microwave? Yes. Then one time she asked to use his car. Cube said, "No, you can't use my car." And Felicia caught a straight attitude. Right before she left, he simply said, "Bye, Felicia." I don't know who I'm preaching to, but there's some new things you need to say hi to, but you can't until you say bye to some stuff that has held you hostage for too long.
That's good.
And speaking of "Bye, Felicia," in Philippians 3, Paul gives his version of "Bye, Felicia." Because Paul is thinking back retrospectively on those things he could have done better. And is there anyone among us who does not have one place, a space in your life where you wish you had a do-over? Please don't tire of me saying this. But the only reason I try not to use the word regret is because Bishop Joy said something to me 10, 15 years ago. He said, "Son, tell me one thing regret can do for you, and I'll allow you to do it."
Wow.
But if regret can't fix it, don't dwell on it. Can I suggest to you, in the text, Paul says, "Great at everything, Kyrie, but there is one thing I've gotten great at, and that is forgetting my past and saying, bye, Felicia." I like that, because in the text, in Philippians 3, and I like it, Mike, because it begins by saying, "Rejoice in the Lord." Y'all just missed it. Rejoice in the Lord. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm already peeping a pastoral parenthetical, and I'm just six words into the first verse, because Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord." He did not say rejoice in your circumstance.
Yeah.
I know you're watching. If he's not watching, somebody call him. One of my best, most beautiful members, his name is John Cooper. He serves at the downtown campus. You may not know him, but when I describe him, many of you will. He's the brother that rides around here in the wheelchair because he has MS. Good-looking, handsome young brother, but MS has caught him. And for the last 3 or 4 years, first he was walking real slow, then on a cane, and now he's in a wheelchair. And I get here a couple Saturdays ago getting ready to hand out masks, and guess who's riding around in his wheelchair helping me pass out masks? And I told him, "You must be one of my best members in this church, because you did not let your situation circumvent your praise." Can I get a witness here? MS is a muscular disease that messes with your muscles, so even though your brain is fine, your body won't do what your mind tell it. So eventually it gets to the place with some people where they're thinking of a word but can't say the word, so they seem to be mute. Can you imagine being a hostage inside your own body? But can I tell you what I love about Brother John? John still has his joy. I don't know who I'm talking to. If he can praise God with muscles that don't work, can I get somebody that can praise God because your feelings hurt? Can I get somebody that would say, "No, devil, you can't take my joy. I ain't just preaching this. I mean this from my heart." Can I get about 200 people to type in the comments, "Still got my joy"? Go ahead. Can I get somebody here that's been through a little something, something, but God has been better to you than you've been to yourself? Can I get somebody that would thank God that in the midst of everything happening in this world, my kids can breathe? I got a roof over my head. I'm spirit-filled. I got the Holy Ghost. The Lord let me live another day. Do me a favor. 25 people say, "Still got my joy." Oh, I still got it. Somebody type in the comments, "I still got my joy." The devil thought he'd steal it. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord in the A clause of verse 1. But China, in the B clause of verse 2, he says, to say the same thing to you is not tedious to me. You'll love this, Mike. And it's safe for you. Okay, come here. He says, to repeat the same things to you, Paul, talking to the church at Philippi, says, To be redundant, there's something I call intentional redundancy. That's different than forgetting what you've said or making a mistake and saying the same thing to the point of irritable redundancy. No, this is intentional redundancy. I know I said it. I know I said it, but I'm saying it again. He said, to say the same thing to you, listen to me, church at Philippi, listen to me, Word Church Nation, to say the same things to you is not tedious for me and is safe for you. Ooh, this is so good. It got me thinking about when I was handing out masks and one of my members came up to me, y'all pray for Pastor, and said, Pastor, I watch every week on YouTube. Watch this. She says, but I just need to get back in church. She says, I can't explain it. It may not make sense. She says, but it's something about coming in there and one of the Now members, she'd come back right now if she could. She says, something about sitting there. She says, I need that, Pastor. She says, I don't know about the other members, but it's something about the accountability. It's something about walking up to Lady Vernon and some of the elders and people in leadership and being accountable to people. Peep this. That's safe for me. God, y'all don't know how good this is. She said, it's safe for me. Some people need to be honest and admit, I need the word all the time. It's safe for me. I need somebody that will say, Pastor, every time you see me, keep on telling me that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Every time you see me with my single self, tell me to flee fornication. Every time you see me with this crazy person I'm married to, tell me what God has joined together. Let no man put asunder. Every time you see me when I'm about to go off on somebody's self, tell me, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Is there somebody that needs the word and the word of God? Watch this. It's safe for you.
Yeah.
It's safe for you in light of being detached from the physical structure and sanctuary with all the stuff that's going on in the world. All the sexual innuendo that's on every site you go to, Pastor, it's safe for me. Can I tell you why I'm going to keep on preaching Jesus to you? Because it's safe. It does not bother me to repeat myself. There are some things, if you stay here long enough, you're going to hear me say again and again and again. Can I tell you why? Because the devil, try not to shout, he deals in demonic dementia. Y'all just missed y'all shout. He deals in demonic dementia. He's trying to make you forget who you are in Christ. He's trying to make you forget the stuff that you walked away from so you can fool around and walk back to it and destroy yourself again. The devil deals in demonic dementia. But I got a word for somebody. The devil is a liar. The devil, you're not going to give me demonic dementia because I'm going to remember that if it had not been, can I get a witness here for the Lord who was on my side? So I need somebody who's honest enough to say, I'm not the type that can be too detached from the vine,
right.
Too detached from church, because that's not safe for me. No, I got a lot of past issues. I got a lot of inclinations. I got a lot of attractions I'm not proud of, and it's safe for me. Can I tell you something? Verse 2 says, beware of dogs. You don't call nobody no dog, Pastor. Verse 2 says, beware of dogs. Pastor, you don't call nobody no dog. That's not what a Christian should. Beware
of dogs.
I'm letting the text talk, not Pastor. Verse 2 says, and it blesses me every time I see it, watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. Pastor, don't assume anything when you preach. Don't assume in the 21st century. I told you guys a few months ago, there are people with master's degrees who don't know the book of Matthew. So you cannot come to church like you could back in the day when I was coming up and assume that the average person watching on YouTube knows circumcision. Circumcision was something they did to Jewish boys. On the eighth day of a Jewish boy's life, they would cut a part of his penis in order to meet some sort of standard they thought for Jewish living. In Orthodox Judaism, they still do it. It is the idea that the cutting of the flesh, it was something external that reflected something internal. He says, beware of those who ascribe to circumcision. Beware of people, watch this, who are trying to add to grace. Beware of any denomination, any pastor, preacher, teacher come here who's trying to tell you you need something else. No, Jesus paid it all.
Yeah.
No, Paul says anybody that's trying to tell you you need something else to be saved. I don't know who I'm talking to, But since we've been away from church, I'm sure some of you have done two things you shouldn't have done and been one place you shouldn't have went. And the enemy will try to have you doubting who you are in Christ. Somebody holler out loud, I'm saved. Go ahead, I'm saved. Verse 3 says, for we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit and in truth. Watch this. And put no confidence in the flesh. Oh, y'all don't know how good that is. Can I go here for a minute? Somebody say, teach, Pastor. Teach, yes, Pastor. We put no confidence in the flesh. Can I tell you, whatever else this pandemic has done for you, it has taught you and shown you, you don't run nothing.
Yeah.
I need to get free. I need to apologize. I guess I'll be first. No other pastor wanted to do it. So Pastor Vernon will say it on behalf of all clergy who will keep it real. All of us put too much confidence in the flesh.
Yeah.
When there are budgets and buildings and staff and medical that depends on you for people to take their babies to the hospital, when you're on national television and local television and feeding the whole city and everybody needs something and wants something, you're thinking to yourself, I better preach. I better do well at this campus. I need this service. I need this day. And God fooled around and showed us all. What you were trying to do in the flesh, I did with the church clothes. Ooh, I don't know who I'm talking to. God says, I can give you more. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but there have been seasons in my life, watch this, where I put too much confidence in the flesh. Peep this. And then the flesh forsook me.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of trusting God, I trusted me.
Yeah.
And me let me down. Can I tell you, somebody has learned to trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. I don't know who I'm talking to, but when you do the best you can, God got the rest. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I got a word for 20 people watching me all across this world. God's getting ready to do something in 2021 that won't have anything to do with you. God can bless you in spite of you. God can bless you without you. God can bless you with you. I put it all in his hands. God is my source. God is the one that's doing it all. Something hit me this morning, Tammy. Watch this. God minus me still equals everything. Me minus God equals nothing. Y'all just missed that. Without me, he's still God all by himself. But without God, my father-in-law used to sing, I can't do nothing. Without God, I would fail. Without God, my life would be rugged like a ship without a sail. Can I get somebody up in here that knows you need God every day, every hour? You ought to throw your hands up, type in the comments, I need thee every hour. I need thee every moment. I need thee every minute. The text says, we put no confidence. I don't know who this word is for. To every good mother who raised your children right and they're doing wrong, don't put that much confidence in your flesh. I've told you 10 times, let me free somebody. I know women in this church, along with gentlemen, who raised their child literally sitting on God's lap every Sunday at this church. And them jokers got grown, I ain't seen them. I know other crackhead mothers who had a needle in their arm, passed out on the side of the bed, didn't do nothing right for their children, missing father, and the child is in an Ivy League school making six figures and a better daddy than their daddy was to them, because God is showing you, I bless who I want to bless. I'll show mercy on whom I want to show. Bless who I. There are good parents whose children aren't doing right, and there are terrible parents who you look at your children and want to cry, because in spite of you, God is using them. God is teaching me as your leader. Let me get free. It's over now, though. I put too much confidence in the flesh. There were times I should have took a vacation and preached until they had to take me to the hospital, because I thought Word Church need me. Yes, there's a part that I play, and there's a part that you play. This is not a teaching toward apathy and lack of responsibility. You they mama, be they mama. Do the best you can and go to bed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Work, pay your tithe, and trust in the Lord.
Right.
Do your best toward everyone you can, and don't let anybody rob you of your sanity trying to fix those who don't want to be fixed.
Yes.
No, don't do that. Don't think it's up to you. You do your best. You tithe, you trust, You do what's right biblically and then say, God, you got it.
Yeah.
Paul said, I put no confidence coming back to this main campus. There'll be two services right up in here. I can't wait.